to Metropolitan Baptist Church. Let's stand and sing number 137, Joy to the World.
Voices this morning. Can't imagine why, but so appreciate. I just want to say, as pastor, I sure appreciate everybody who's working so hard during Project Nativity, both before and leading up to the last few days, but continuing. All those who did the planning and preparations and working. And you know, I was so blessed by some. All of you, but some who had every excuse maybe to sit at the house, but were here and working and part of things. And it's a real blessing to me as your pastor. If you haven't been out and gone through the Project Nativity drive-through, please come this evening and bring someone with you. Amen. Bring a couple carloads of people with you. And I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's fun. Hey, you get cocoa and cookies. What could be better? Amen. Well, it's good. Good to see one and all. And we have visitors in our midst. And so please get by, church family, and welcome our visitors. We have some that are out. Hopefully they're not out because they're sick. Nobody's allowed to be sick tonight. All right. Let's welcome each other.
Oh,
remain standing. Number 135. Number 135, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Just like yesterday, I will do today.
All right, let's stand again. Number 138. Number 138.
Oh,
offering. Brother DJ did a good job stepping in for Brother John. I couldn't do that. My singing is horrible. Thank you for being with us this morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. And I know we had a long night last night and we got another one tonight, but it's good to see all of you this morning, visitors. It's good to see you. Thank you for joining us this morning. So we have the Hope Ministry every Friday at 7 p.m. And for those of you that don't know about the Hope Ministry, get with Brother DJ about that. It is a blessing, a ministry that the Lord's put here at Metropolitan, and it's a blessing to our community. Lifeline screening sign-up sheet. If you are interested, there is more information at the Welcome Center. It'll take place Tuesday, January the 29th of 2019. The Wayne Hudson family, Tom Gaday family, and Penny Fofowina family have a new prayer letters at the Welcome Center out at the front. And the Christmas parties, youth Christmas party will take place December the 3rd, the 30th. I believe it's after the fifth Sunday. And no children's church or Busy Bees for Jesus starting the 23rd and the 30th. Office is closed the 24th and the 25th and the 31st and the 1st. The members of Metropolitan Baptist Church will observe the Lord's Supper, the 23rd p.m. service, and 5th Sunday, December the 30th. Please bring two sides and four desserts. Due to Project Nativity, there will be no evening service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we're thankful, Lord, that this morning, Lord, that you still sit on your throne, Father God, and we pray, Father, this morning that you be with our pastor as he brings your word. I pray, Father, that you prepare our hearts and our minds to receive it this morning, Lord. And Father, we pray that you be with the offering. Pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That were, you know, really going over and above to be here and be part of, and though it might be a physical challenge to them. We actually had an angel here last night with a broken wing, and she was still staying real active and doing her thing. Be mindful this evening, 6 o'clock, not 7 o'clock. What time do you want folks here tonight, the workers?
I'll say 5:15.
Okay, 5:15 for all the workers tonight. Amen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long in sin and ever pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, though yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another, his law is His gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine.
Amen. Amen. I think that's the lowest I ever heard John sing. Amen. It's good. Appreciate it, brother. Well, you can be turning this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. With everything going on this week, I thought appropriate to go ahead and preach this Sunday a Christmas message. You find your place there in Luke chapter 2, please stand with me. Not for my sake, but in reverence to the Word of God. Yes. Luke chapter 2, beginning to read in verse 8, where it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Father, we bow before you this once again, and we're asking you, Father, open your word to our hearts this morning. Pray you'd give the preacher understanding and illumination and the liberty to declare exactly what you would want our ears to receive today. Trust, Father, it wouldn't be just a message, but a word to our hearts, that you, the God of glory, would be magnified, and that we would join with the heavenly hosts, praising you, giving glory unto you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his love for us. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Well, it's obvious we're well into another Christmas season. And we know all the familiar characters that are part of the Christmas event, if we can say it that way. The story of our Savior's birth. Of course, there were Joseph and Mary. They're a very big part of that group, that young mother and her devoted husband. There's the angel that explains to them what is going to take place, what is going on even in the womb of Mary. But that angel also makes a great announcement to some unsuspecting shepherds as they tended to their flocks on the night of our Savior's birth. Look at those shepherds again. And I don't know exactly why, but the shepherds have always held a special interest to me, a special place with me. Maybe it's because I'm really nothing more than a country boy myself. And I know all my refinements, you'd never guess that. But there's something special about them to me. The shepherds were common men. They were common men. They were hard-working men. And it's safe to assume that they, for the most part at least, were uneducated men. But these common, hard-working, uneducated men would receive a very great honor on this special night. On the night of our Savior's birth. And we see here that the shepherds heard all about it. They heard about the shepherd. And we read already in verse 8. We see that the shepherds were busy. Even though they were just abiding there in the field. They were busy about their duty. Is it says there were in the same country, the same area, same region as Bethlehem, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Wow. I don't know what time it was. We have no idea, but these men were busy doing what? Their duty. Keeping watch over their flock. And hopefully, I think we understand that the night would have been the most dangerous time for the flock. So they would have to be vigilant in their work. It'd be that time when predators would be prowling about the flock looking for an opportunity, maybe to snag a straying lamb or a ewe that was by itself. And at about... In the midst of all this, the shepherds were doing what shepherds do. They were busy doing their duty. But we see that they're terrified by a visitor, a very unusual visitor, sometime in the night. We have really no indication about what time it is, but sometime at night, an angel makes this appearing in a tremendous manifestation of divine glory. The glory of God, it says, shone about them. And our Bible says that they were sore afraid. Sore afraid. This sight terrified the shepherds. I think we could understand that. They were there's no way they had ever seen anything like this before. Nothing. And this would have been the ultimate UFO experience, I would safely say. Well, who was this angel that appeared to them? Who was this angel? Now, we can't be sure. He's not named here. But more than likely, it was Gabriel once again. Be mindful that we learn from chapter 1 and verse 19 that it was Gabriel that carried the message to old Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, telling them, of course, that they were going to be parents, that Elizabeth would bear a son in her old age. Of course, that son was John the Baptist. We are also told in that chapter that it was Gabriel that carried the message to Mary. He visited that young maid Mary in Nazareth and explained to her what was going to happen in her life, what was going to be that great honor that was to be hers to miraculously conceive and bear the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. Oh my. So, though Gabriel's not named, it's more than likely Gabriel that bear this message to the shepherds. Well, indeed, a great message. It was a great message that the shepherds receive. And we read there in verse 10 where it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, terrified though they be." He tells them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The announcement. The announcement of the Savior's birth. Of course, we said the angel calms them. Fear not. I don't know how much that helped. I mean, what a sight to behold. He tells them why he's there. He tells them why he has appeared to him. And might we emphasize, this is not happenstance. It just didn't so happen that the shepherds were where he appeared. No, this angel appeared to the shepherds purposefully. The appearance of the shepherd was by God's direction. He is the one that determined that shepherds would be the first to get the birth announcement of the Savior of man. Wow. The announcement of the birth of the Son of God. The angel. The angel reveals to them the good tidings, the good news. Literally, the word gospel. He tells them that there was good news this night for how many people? For all people. Not just the Jews, not just the inhabitants of Bethlehem or the surrounding area around Jerusalem. No, this would be a good news for all people had taken place on this night. A Savior had been born in the city of David. In the city of David. This Savior was none other than the Christ, the Messiah of God. The next words, though, are in a sense almost anticlimactic to what has just been stated by the angel. The angel tells them where to find this person, where they would find this one that has just been born. And so we also see here the announcement of the Savior's birthplace. Excuse me, my voice is getting a little raspy too. The angel essentially tells them, and again, this is certainly not King James Bible, it's Turner paraphrase. He tells them, you'll find the baby wrapped in rags, lying in a feed box. That's what he told them. He'll be wrapped in rags and lying in a feed box. Well, we understand that the swaddling clothes, and again, the very word itself, means to wrap an infant, to wrap a child. The swaddling clothes are not unique in this situation. They describe cloth strips that would be used to wrap the baby up. You know, I remember when our girls was born and how those nurses took those swaddling blankets then and wrapped that baby up nice and snug, and so that they feel like they're still in mama's womb for at least a little bit. The swaddling cloths in themselves were not unique, but it was certainly unique for this newborn baby to be put in a cattle's feed box, to have him laid in a cattle's feed box. Not exactly a glamorous crib for this newborn child who we know was the Son of God and the very King of all kings. Well, we also see that the shepherds, beyond this, if this wasn't amazing enough, they witness another amazing sight in verses 13 and 14. No sooner are these words out of Gabriel's mouth that we read in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And Gabriel just speaks the words, and he's joined by a heavenly host. Now, before we get too far with this, how many are in a heavenly host? Notice it says a multitude of the heavenly host. There's no way of putting a number. This is me. Okay, this is just Jim Turner. But it seems to me that this number of angels that join Gabriel are beyond count. More than could be. That you could safely say that the angels that joined Gabriel filled the night sky. Again, this is me talking here, not Bible. I don't believe that heaven could contain them. Be mindful. Those angels knew what was going on. They understood what was taking place. They understood. Now, this is what is over the word overwhelming, amazing, tremendous. None of those are good enough. They understood that the one that created them, the one that spoke the universe into existence, was now lying in a manger. And they couldn't let that go. They joined Gabriel in those words. They declared, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. Oh yes. Oh yes. Though just an infant, a newborn infant, this child would become a man. This child would indeed become a man. And he would bring great glory to his Father. Great glory to God. And indeed, he would bring peace. If you're here today and you're saved, and there's peace in your hearts, it's because the birth of the Son of God. Amen. He brought peace to this earth that this earth still does not understand. The earth has this crazy idea that peace is the absence of war, when they don't understand the greatest war is the war that goes on in man's heart. The need of peace to be pronounced to our very hearts. Peace and goodwill toward man. Oh yes. Yes indeed. We see as well in these verses that the shepherds then sought the Savior. They sought the Savior. Verses 15, it says, it came to pass as the angels were gone away, from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Goes on, it says, "And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Well, the angel told the shepherds how to recognize this miraculous child. He didn't tell them to go to the inns. He didn't tell them to go to the best neighborhood in Bethlehem. No, in reality, the angel told the shepherds to go to the place that you're familiar with. Go to the stable. Go to the stables to find this child. Oh, yes. Rather than those places, they were to hunt for him in the stables. And we see the consensus here of the shepherds. It says the shepherds said one to another. They were in agreement. They were in agreement. Number one, they agreed to go down to Bethlehem. Go down to that village of Bethlehem. "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." It's interesting. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. Isn't it interesting that the very bread of life would be found that night in Bethlehem, the house of bread? They went down to Bethlehem, of course, known as the city of David. It was that city of David where David came from. And now David's descendant, all those generations later, will be born there as well, born in Bethlehem. They agreed to go look in Bethlehem, but they also agreed that it was God, that it was the Lord that had made this known to them. What did they say? Which the Lord hath made known unto us. Yes, it was an angelic messenger, but they understood that this message was given to the angels for them. Why? Why shepherds? Why was it shepherds that got the first announcement of the birth of Jesus? Why not someone else more important than shepherds and these mere shepherds? Well, there may be tremendous, great, and theological reasons, but a couple things come to my mind. A couple things make sense. One would be that many of the earthly ancestors of this child were what? Shepherds. Obviously, we're mindful of going all the way back to Abraham and his sons and even their descendants. But the ultimate example is that other one that was born in Bethlehem, huh? That became a king, and David himself, the shepherd, the sweet psalmist of Israel. But another reason would be that this child came not to be only a savior, if we can say it that way. He came not only to be a savior, but also to be a shepherd, did he not? He came, and he himself declared that he was the good shepherd. In Gospel of John in chapter 10. In Hebrews, he's called the great shepherd. And then in 1 Peter, he's declared to be the chief shepherd. So the Lord Jesus Christ, even from his birth, identified with shepherds, as he himself was a shepherd. We also see in these verses the hurried, if you will, the hurried coming of the shepherds. They came with haste. They hurried to the city. Now, this wasn't something to be put off. They sensed the urgency that they should not wait until morning. they immediately went looking for the event that Gabriel had described to them. They found the young couple. They found the young couple. They found Mary and Joseph. And even the word found is interesting. The word itself means to describe something by searching for it. By searching for it. Now, we have no idea. How many stables might there have been in Bethlehem, in the surrounding area? We have no idea. We have no idea how long it took them to find the right stable. We know they searched till they found him. We do know that they searched until they found the baby, the newborn king. They found that baby, it says, in a manger. The babe lying in a manger. Wow. We see also here the shepherds declared the Savior. The shepherds declared. And beloved, really, this point was really my message today. All the rest was just really introduction to get to here. Verse 17. Notice what it says. When they had seen it. When they had seen it. What a sight. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Let it soak in a moment. When they found the babe and when they took it all in, they made it known. The shepherd's announcement. Won't it be a blessing? And again, maybe I'm the one that thinks this away, but won't it be a blessing to one day we get to glory to meet these shepherds? I don't know, of all the multitudes that'll be in glory, to be able to, I don't know if it's even possible, to look up the shepherds. I want to ask them what it was like. What was it like? They'd searched. What was it like that night? What was it like to approach that stable? And as they entered in to take in the scene, exactly as the angel had described it to them. Once there, it wasn't a stable like all the rest of the stables in Bethlehem. It wasn't a stable only occupied by animals. This stable had become a sanctified place, a place where God was pleased to give His presence, His own presence. My, what would you say? What would you say as you made your way into that stable? What do we say normally? We enter in and we see the parents and what do we say? Well, congratulations. Just wouldn't do it this time, would it? Would be rather trite. Might I suggest that rather than words, that they just took it in awe. Awe of what they were witnessing and what they saw. But then they made it known. Verse 17, as we read, they made it known. Note the exact words of that statement. It says, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The shepherd's announcement, beloved. Now, what did they make known? What did they make known? Notice, they made known what they were told. They made known what the angel told them about this event and about this child. No doubt they were in their excitement. They shared what they had seen with their own eyes. But the important thing to tell others about Jesus was that, forgive me, who he is and what he had come to do. The angel made the announcement, but these shepherds, there was prophecies, of course, before the birth, but these shepherds were the first witnesses for Christ. Remember the words here of verses 10 to 12. Once again, please. The angel said unto them, here's the message that they shared. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. What did we say that meant? I bring you the gospel. The good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Amen. A deliverer. A Savior, which is the Messiah. Amen. Christ the Lord. Amen. And of course they told them where they could find him. You see, the shepherd's announcement was that there is indeed that tidings of great joy. Christ the Lord, the Savior, God's Savior, had been born that very night. Be mindful that the children of Israel, the Jews, had been watching for this night for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. He, beloved, that is the message of the gospel, has been born in the city of David. And the shepherds had the privilege of saying, we have seen him with our eyes. We're not only telling you what we were told, we're telling you what we saw. Beloved, they didn't keep what they were told by this angel to themselves. They didn't just go back to their campfires that night and huddle around the fire and talk about it with each other. They shared the message. They shared. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Beloved, we continue to do that today. Huh? We continue to do what the shepherds did. We continue to make that announcement. Amen. It's the mission these days of Project Nativity. It's the mission of what's going on the last two nights and tonight once again, whether it be from the printed page and things that are handed out, or the message from the puppets, or the message of the drama or the choir here. We're announcing a Savior. Amen. It's our mission as a church to this city. It's obviously the mission of our missionaries and to the uttermost parts of the earth, as Jesus' last words to his disciples tell us, isn't it? Ye shall.
Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The announcement continues. From his birth announcement to the shepherds, we continue, beloved, to announce this one. To announce the good news to all people. And notice in that last verse of our passage, verse 18. Verse 18, if I can read it. It says, and all they that heard it wondered at this. They wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. It's still going on, isn't it? Still going on. We could put ourselves in the place of those that the shepherds talked to that night. The shepherds, as though all that they could come to, they went, as they went abroad talking of what had been told to them. Put yourself in the place of those that heard the shepherds' words. What do you think? Huh? We need to tell you what this angel told us that appeared in the night sky. Oh, really? Huh? What would you think of their testimony? Quite a fantastic story, wasn't it? But it wasn't just a story. It wasn't just a story. Do not folks respond much the same way today? They still wonder at the story, and maybe they wonder in different ways. Maybe they wonder, could it really be true that God would provide a Savior to pay the price of sin? Could that be? I remember hearing that. I remember the impact that God made on me about this story. Would someone conceivably love me enough to die in my place? Overwhelmed me, beloved, when I heard that story. The story of a young maid giving birth to a miraculous son. It's a great story. But it's not just a touching story for a backdrop to a holiday season. As it has become to the great extent. It's the story of my Savior and your Savior's birth. It's the account of what God did to provide our salvation. What a privilege for you and I to continue to announce it today. Might I just ask, do you know the Savior? Do you know the Savior? Have you received His forgiveness? The Gospel of John in chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received Him. I like that statement. I like that way. As many as received Him, to them, to each and every one that received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Christmas is a great time to get saved. I don't know how close it was to Christmas in 1974. I know it was sometime in the middle of December.
God broke through my heart. And I received him. Believed on him. 44 years ago this month. Thank you, Lord. Are you saved? It's a good day to get saved. Let's stand together. I didn't realize it was going to be that emotional. Birth of a Savior. Amen. Father, we bow before you today and we thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving your Son, your only begotten Son. Thank you that you loved us enough to give him to us. Lord, I'm thankful for the message of the gospel, those good tidings of goodwill. Lord, I pray, oh God. Lord, I pray that, speaking for myself, I pray I never get over it. Never get over what you did to save this sinner. Father, I pray that every believer, everyone that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior would even fall deeper and deeper in love with him. That it would become our life's breath, Father, to announce his birth, to announce his life, to announce his death, burial, and his victory, his resurrection, to give us salvation, to give us forgiveness, cleansing from sin. Thank you, Lord. And I do pray this morning, Father, I pray for anyone within these walls that is yet without Christ. Please, Lord, make yourself known in a beautiful way, in a powerful way. Lord, I pray. I know it's different with each of us. Well, Lord, I pray that how you overwhelmed me all those years ago with your love, that you'd do it again today and again and again and again and again. Save souls, Lord. Amen. Thank you for the privilege that I have, that each of us has, that our church has, to announce your Son. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John, you have a song for us.
Page 139.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. These altars are open, beloved. Whatever might be on your heart today, please don't hesitate. Maybe that you'd say, this is the day I want to get saved. Preacher, I don't want to put it off another moment. I know I need Jesus. I know I need his forgiveness. I need his cleansing. These altars are open for you. They're open for everyone. Whatever might be on your heart today, please. Obey the Lord.
On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king, born to die upon Calvary. Jesus suffered my sin to forgive, born to die upon Calvary. He was wounded, live. Jesus knew when he came, he would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow, but he left paradise. With his blood he paid the price. My redemption to Jesus I
in Christ. Amen. To die never again. Well, remember the Project Nativity workers. What time are you supposed to be here tonight? 5 o'clock. And everybody else, the drive-through opens at 6 p.m. this evening, 6 to 9. So please, if you haven't been, come. Bring folks with you as well, please. Amen. Brother John.
Well, also tonight, we'll meet in the gym at 5:45 to pray and then go back to our stops. But 5 o'clock to get things ready, so appreciate it. Let's be dismissed with our chorus, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it.